Hello, and welcome back to the Security Token Show. I'm your host, Kyle Sondland, CEO of Security Token Market, and I'm joined by my co-host and business partner, Herwig Konings, CEO of Security Token Advisors. And for the first time ever, we're beaming to you from somewhere outside of Miami for the next few episodes. That's right, we're coming to you from the mother city, Cape Town, South Africa.
That's right, Kyle. In fact, I think this calls for a wardrobe change. What do you think?
I agree. Much better.
Yeah, I kind of like this.
I like it. As a reminder to our podcast listeners through Apple Music and Spotify, the show is now on video as well, posted to YouTube on Fridays alongside our audio version. But before we move into the show this week, Herwig, I do think it's time to share a word from our sponsor this week. This episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by First Shot Centers, LLC. Based out of Las Vegas, Nevada, they're issuing 100 million First Shot tokens at a price of $1 per token to repurchase malls and commercial properties that have been hit hard by COVID and changing consumer tastes. They will aim to convert these properties into entertainment and themed centers that will provide investors with equity and interest on the income generated by the underlying properties. The offering will be exclusively available to U.S. accredited investors, and it's going to be followed by three more identical offerings in the future. To learn more about First Shot Centers and their security token offering, check out more information today at firstshotcenters.com. That's firstshotcenters.com.
Yes, of course. Thank you to our sponsors, and thank you for those of you who are tuning back in, and welcome for those of you tuning in for the first time. This is our South Africa edition, but our usual programming will continue. We always start off the show with our companies of the week, where Kyle and I, we each pick one company that we thought made the biggest moves in the space last week. Then we're going to get into our top five things that you need to know from last week that happened. We'll go into some continued industry updates from myself, followed by Kyle's secondary market and STO updates. And then we're going to conclude our show with a little main topic where we're going to be focusing about distributions that you can receive from security tokens on chain. We've got an exciting show set up for you. But Kyle, let's get into episode 100. What is your company of the week?
My company of the week is Green Pro Capital. And they just announced that they are launching a small but exciting fund specifically focused towards security token offerings. That's right. They are dedicating up to $5 million specifically to invest in security token offering deals on the Crypto SX platform, which is regulated in the Philippines. And this is my company of the week for one simple reason, and that's it's the first dedicated security token investment fund in the space. We've seen some funds get active before. We've never seen a fund specifically recognizing an allocation to deploy into the security token space, and I just love to see it. We love to see that, and you hope to see more going to come soon.
That's huge. We definitely hope that there are more going to come soon, but like you said, it's the first. They're finally here. They're dedicated. That's a great company of the week, Kyle.
How about you?
Well, I'd love to tell you about Arte Mundi, which is a pioneer in the art technology space. They've partnered up with Signum Bank to tokenize one of the first ever paintings, this time being a Picasso, no less. So this 1964 beauty called the Filet Abre, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, is going to have 4,000 tokens issued behind it. This puppy is supposedly worth over $4 million. And now for the first time everywhere, art investors, collectors, enthusiasts can now expose themselves to an art investment in a Picasso online, digitally. That's what both Signum and Arte Mundi are very excited to bring to the market. And we can expect a lot more from Arte Mundi to bring more art tokenization to the masses. And for that, they're my company of the week.
Very exciting use case. Totally understandable. Awesome job, Arte Mundi.
Let's do it. Let's get into the top five.
So to kick off this week's top five, we have a big partnership from Apollo Global and Figure. We've heard of Figure many times before, who have launched a lot of debt-based blockchain securities, and now they are partnering with Apollo Global, focusing specifically on an on-chain fund listing, asset securitization, and digital marketplace launch. This is a very exciting partnership.
Huge deal. Figure has raised over $550 million of venture capital funding to date. They've tokenized over $1 billion worth of loans, and now they've partnered up with a $400 billion-plus alternative asset manager. That's a huge deal. that's why that's number one. But let's get to number two, where we're going to talk about MUFG. That's the fifth largest bank in the entire world. They've partnered up with Nomura Securities. That's a Japanese investment bank that has long been focused on digital securities and tokenized offerings. And now they've partnered up with a third firm called Kenedix, which is actually a real estate firm, and they're going to be tokenizing that real estate from that real estate developer, Nomura being the underwriter and MUFG being the issuer. So this puts Japan once again as one of the leading countries in Asia and potentially the entire world when it comes to security tokens.
Huge deal to see Nomura underwriting these securities. You don't see that very often in the first wave of these deals, so great work to those teams. Number three, we've got a South Korean CBDC. The Bank of Korea has launched a bidding process to figure out which tech provider they're going to be working with as a partner to launch this CBDC, this digital currency for the Korean won. And the three leading bidders right now are SKCNC, which is South Korea's third largest conglomerate at $16 billion in valuation. You've also got two tech platforms, Naver, which is the largest search engine at $64 billion in market cap, and Kakao, $62 billion social media platform. All three are working hard to act as the primary assistant here to launch the central bank digital currency. We'll see what happens next.
My input, Kakao over there, they're supposed to be working with GroundX, which has a relationship with Consensus, which is part of five different CBD projects, if that not probably more. So maybe they're going to win it out with having that experience, but of course we'll see and we'll let you know on the show here. But number four, Relio and Valentis Capital, they've officially issued $20 million worth of LCX tokens. So they have the Liquid Mining Fund. This actually offers you exposure to Bitcoin mining yield. They're one of the first ever structured investment products that allows you to do so. And they ended up selling $20 million, which its first inaugural year of closing ended this year in July 1st. So that meant that they can now exercise and convert all of the investment into tokens, LCX tokens specifically, and they have converted and exercised all of them. We've got another $8 million from a second fund to come, possibly next year. And then there's a sign here that maybe another fund, an SPV3 for the liquid mining fund here, will open up between $50 to $100 million. So another opportunity for those of you who missed out to get in on this.
And rounding out our top five news this week comes from Blockchain Capital. They had a venture capital fund they raised in 2013. They've done multiple different funds since. And one of those funds, the Liquid Venture Fund 3, has a share that's tokenized. They tokenized about $10 million of it a couple of years ago. And they give periodic updates on how that asset is performing. And the assets here were, I guess, in a little bit of a decline. The NAV was down about 30% this quarter compared to the quarter before, mostly led by Coinbase. They have a big share of Coinbase that was significantly marked up at IPO and now is seeing that pullback. However, the shares are still up 158% in 2021 from a net asset value perspective, so I don't think anyone's sweating too much. The only question here is about distribution of liquidity. Might some of the investors wanted to see some of that liquidity actually taken from the Coinbase IPO instead of holding?
Thank you for that update. And that's the top five. Let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
This week's industry news starts off with a new policy document by the French securities regulator, which suggested that the European Securities and Markets Authority be empowered with oversight powers of the economic bloc's crypto industry. That's the ESMA, which is an independent European Union authority and a securities regulator for the EU. And the AMF, the author behind the document, said, quote, "Direct supervision should also be granted to ESMA whenever the EU decides to regulate a financial activity, a profession, or type of product that was previously unregulated," end quote. Now, this is meant to be an all-encompassing solution to include things like cryptocurrencies and account for the disintermediation or innovation created by new technology to allow for the ESMA to create regulation that applies across the board in the European Union. And that would be powerful because it offers clarity and transparency on the regulations for the crypto asset industry. And of course, it's a wonderful thing. And over in the USA, we saw some of the SEC internal debate come into the public spotlight. You see, the Securities and Exchange Commission recently settled charges with the owner of a website called CoinSchedule.com. They settled for promoting initial coin offerings without disclosing the compensation it received from the issuers, which was followed by public protests from the SEC's two Republican commissioners. Those are Hester Pierce and Elad Rossman. The two of SEC Republican commissioners protested this action because the SEC didn't identify which of the more than 2,500 digital tokens the website promoted were actually securities. They agreed that touting securities without disclosure of who is getting paid is something that should be enforced. But what they had a problem with was that the SEC didn't acknowledge which tokens specifically were considered securities in the settlement, therefore continuing to leave the U.S. crypto industry in the dark about what tokens might already be securities or how their very own regulatory body is supposed to distinguish. Shows that based on this public outcry from the SEC's very own, that even the Howey test, which is used to determine which tokens are securities by the SEC, is clearly being put to the full test here by innovators, artists, and inventors in the crypto space. And moving into company announcements, we saw Merge go live with a partnership with Circle to bring the USDC stablecoin to the Merge platform. And that's big news. It means Merge can now leverage the full benefits of instant clearing and settlement on trades. I think Jim Needham from Merge, he says it up best here. He says, quote, using USDC to move funds in and out of our marketplace has been completely transformative. We can now allow counterparties and individuals to fund their Merge account at the speed of the internet. When a trade is matched, it's instantly cleared, settled, and registered, and now counterparties can move their funds just as quickly, end quote. And that's super exciting, to move at the speed of the internet. When it comes to trading, this is exactly what blockchain is all about. This is what many in the crypto industry, you know, enticed in the first place. Now traditional finance is catching up, and that's exactly what Noor Adhami says in the Singaporean Business Times with his latest piece titled Tokenized Securities, Too Good to Miss. You see, Noor is the head of security services at HSBC Singapore, and he went ahead and eloquently explained why distributed ledger technology brings us new capabilities like automated record keeping and instant settlement. This is more proof to me that this trend cannot be stopped. And moving on, I know many of you watching this show, you're actually considering doing an STO yourselves. And if you haven't reached out to us yet at Security Token Advisors, or if you are still just trying to figure it all out, check out this piece by Cointelegraph Consulting, which guides you through the process of doing a security token offering. It's always good info to have out in the world so that more people can consider tokenization themselves. So I support this article and definitely recommend it. And we also have our very own Peter Gaffney's Tokenize This blog series, which for the 24th edition talks about tokenized infrastructure. As he says it, the value proposition in this case is a security token offering that would generate working capital for the private infrastructure developers to ramp up their operations on especially urgent projects, namely land assets that are falling apart and becoming dangerous. These private firms likely have access to traditional bank financing, but many can choose a security token route in favor of some flexibility when it comes to the use of the proceeds. And this also enables investors access to private infrastructure opportunities, which they didn't have before. Of course, I think this is another great article. Definitely go give it a read on the Security Token Market blog. And last but not least, we have an article on Forbes with Algorand founder Silvio Micali, who breaks down how to construct a, quote, fast and secure blockchain. It's a thorough interview that gives you a glimpse into the philosophy and design of the Algorand blockchain. And for now, that's all the news you need to know from last week. Let's head to Kyle and get the latest market trading updates.
Our new security token offering section this week is a little light, so I do think it gives us a great opportunity to highlight a few of the key offerings over the past month. First off, we may want to dive into a deeper exploration on our sponsor, First Shot. The firm is planning to purchase vacant U.S. commercial properties and repurchase them in the future. The token is structured to provide investors with both equity and a revenue share and currently trades on Crypto SX Exchange out of the Philippines. So it does seem like there's lighter restrictions in the Philippines jurisdiction, as I think the tokens are actually trading on this exchange while the firm is still selling out its full primary offering. Presumably, this means that the company is essentially selling equity at a fixed price, which provides buyers a price floor to invest in the asset. but it doesn't seem like there's any redemption or market-making capabilities for sellers. However, the revenue distributions are maybe a good way to add additional value on top of equity. It's interesting to see how this is going to play out and if investors are going to purchase these shares on the secondary market or the primary, and maybe there's some potential differences in who can buy what. Last week, we covered Link Capital as well, the firm selling a property with a total of 100,000 Agrawood trees via a security token. Now, Agrawood is actually an incredibly valuable resource, one of the most expensive in the world by weight, and it's used in perfumes and traditional medicines, and it's very hard to find naturally. The firm is raising $10 million via a security token offering in order to build a facility to process these trees and refine the oils in the wood for proper sale. Another innovative piece here is that the property is insured by international A-rated insurers from Europe in order to mitigate the risks against the losses from natural disasters, theft, or malicious damage. Interesting to see the protections have been made. The company has a forecasted $200 million in sales on these refined resources over the next 5 years, so you should check out more information and definitely do your own research on this project if you're interested. And finally, we covered Club Necaxa, which a few weeks ago is a Mexican team at the top of the Mexican soccer division that launched a security token NFT. The team is selling 1% equity at ownership in the form of a one-of-one security token that is tied to a digital art piece. The offering took place on the NFT platform OpenSea, but was only limited to accredited investors both here in the US and abroad. Owning this NFT gives an investor non-dilutable ownership in the team and also includes unique access to the team and its facilities, tickets to home and away games, championship rings, if that ever happens, and team merchandise. A portion of the sale also goes to select charities, and you like to see them doing good. The share was listed at $1.25 million US dollars, and the registration is now closed. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up claiming the share. I'll keep you posted on that one as we find out more info. And moving into the secondary token trading market, we kick it off with another great article by Omar Faridi, who covered the security token market monthly reports, breaking down both industry stats as well as the real estate sector specifically. If you didn't know, Security Token Market tracks over 100 live security token offerings and compiles trading and market cap reports each month, both for the industry as a whole and for specific verticals, like real estate this month or next month, tokenized stocks. We also have begun exploring selling a detailed market report with full quantitative analysis of the trading activity of the market, which we will begin exploring in July. If you're a trader, investment firm, or service provider that would like a detailed view into the secondary market and its mechanics, you should reach out. And finally, from a news perspective, we have a fund update from Blockchain Capital regarding its portfolio update from Q2. As we mentioned earlier in the episode during the top five segment, Blockchain Capital's NAV was down 31% to $16.37 this quarter, likely due to the big drop from Coinbase. Some of this was offset by the strong upward moves by Securitize and OpenSea, but they weren't enough to fully cover the strong Coinbase drop. What wasn't covered in some of the other articles in the industry was that they do also have some strong assets like Circle and Kraken in the portfolio, which are both also exploring secondary listing in 2022. These could be two other great investments in the BCAP portfolio to drive more value to investors and shareholders. And moving into the secondary market trading, we're looking at a total market cap of $792 million. Looking at the biggest movers, it's hard to ignore BCAP, which was up 82% this week, but it might be fool's gold. The shares fell from 15 bucks to about 6.5 on Open Finance a few days ago, until there was literally just one share that was purchased at $20. A few additional shares were purchased in the $20 price point in separate trades, but it doesn't seem like a strong competitive market dynamics are at play here. It's a shame, though, as I know that I've been approached by multiple different investment firms who would like to get exposure into the Blockchain Capital asset and buy BCAP tokens, but ultimately decided to pass on the opportunity when looking at the depth of the order book and the lack of liquidity in the market. So I'm incredibly excited to see the INX takeover of the Open Finance platform, and once the INX token begins trading, to see how they can inject life into this platform, because BCAP continues to be one of the strongest assets to be trading on a secondary market here in the US, in addition to the high standards of diligence that they've prepared. Yet, the shares don't have any liquidity for serious buyers, which makes it difficult to pull the trigger. Aside from BCAP, however, it was a down week for the security token industry. A few real estate properties were up, including the ones from Realty listed on LevinSwap, but each T0 asset was down, led by Overstock, down 8%. Not much action from the rest of the pack either. Tokenized stocks, however, led the trading volume front yet again, with Tesla, Alibaba, and Coinbase leading the top three. You can check out stomarket.com for more information, and you can hit me on Twitter with all of your hot takes on where the market's going. Now, let's transition back to the safari and dig into the main topic this week, which is about revenue-generating security tokens and paying out those assets on-chain. And I think it's time to move right into our main topic this week, which is receiving revenue from security tokens. A pretty fun one.
I think so, Kyle. But before we do, I think we need to acknowledge the fact that this is our 100th episode. We've been doing this for 2 years, and I think we should celebrate the way that we normally do, Kyle.
How's that?
The way we like it with McKellen, right?
Okay. I mean, look, it's been, we do 6 to 8 hours of research just to prepare all the information for each one of these episodes. We then work with Nick and Jonah and many of the others in the studio to produce it, make it happen, and we just couldn't do it without a ton of hard work, and appreciate everybody checking it out.
And for that, especially Nick and the rest of the team behind the camera there, thank you for making the Security Token Show possible.
Cheers.
And a special thank you to our sponsors, too.
Of course. Appreciate you, first shot.
Now, let's get into our main topic, receiving dividends using security tokens. That's exciting stuff. I think one of the best use cases, actually, of security tokens. For the first time ever, you'll be able to receive dividends digitally. Now, let that sink in for those of you who are not used to the online experience here. Before, you would actually either put in your mailing address or your bank account information, and someone would have to manually get you a wire or mail you a check. That's not exciting. That's not really that scalable. That's a lot of the reasons why many investment opportunities prevent you from getting in the first place, because they do not want to do the work of wiring yet another investor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're talking about having a digital dashboard here clearly displaying all the dividend payments that are sent out, not only to every individual shareholder, how much you've accrued over a certain period of time, and it just clarifies everything in a way that even my traditional brokerage just doesn't offer me.
And I don't know about you, but I want my income coming in digitally always. And that moves into number two, which is the fact that all of this can be automated. You know, going back to the idea that someone is behind a desk figuring out Kyle owns this amount and he should get sent this amount on a monthly or quarterly basis is just not feasible, really. In fact, the fact that it's using smart contracts and the fact that the blockchain knows all beneficial owners, it becomes super, super easy to automatically and programmatically send distributions of any kind on-chain to all token holders automatically as many times as you want.
Which is really important, because when you're talking about issuing a dividend, there are multiple parties that are involved here. Certainly the issuer themselves has to be able to determine and dictate when they would like to issue a dividend. And then in the traditional markets, they would need to communicate that to a bank or a custody provider to actually issue that dividend to all the individual shareholders. So they would also then need to access the cap table or work with a transfer agent in order to actually distribute all of those dividends. So you're talking about multiple different parties, and not only just those individual parties, but they have individuals working for them that are managing that process on a manual basis. You're removing many, many different moving pieces here, drastically reducing the cost of issuing these dividends and increasing the likelihood that you as an investor are actually going to get paid.
That's right. And all of what you just described, Kyle, is most likely managed on some central database or worse, on some Excel sheet.
Ugh.
What does this mean? No transparency. Typically, when you make an investment, you don't get much information on the real-time revenues, maybe quarterly, monthly, if you're lucky. But you certainly won't get any real-time or transparent, trustless information about the revenue distributions. So, because every transaction is recorded on-chain, that dashboard that you just described in the future will be perfectly immutable, and you'll be able to search up exactly the perfect genealogy, the history of every single payment. If fund manager payments are paid, you'll be able to see those. It's a great way to make sure and keep people accountable.
Absolutely. And that, I think, moves us into our final great benefit here of receiving revenue from security tokens on chain. And that is that you actually have the flexibility to be able to select which types of currencies That's you're right. able to receive. So if you're taking international shareholders, they may all prefer to receive different fiat currencies in which they receive that revenue. In fact, you may also want to receive it in a different type of asset, whether it's selecting specifically to get more of the security token you're investing in or potentially transferring it somewhere else. This is an incredibly valuable tool for especially remittances and international investors who may not be on the US dollar basis.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a great use case. I think that Securitize, if I remember correctly, enables you to be able to pay out to over 100 different cryptocurrencies to your investors. That's them simply choosing how they would like to get paid. Now, I think there's one last thing I'd like to cover. Many of you who are following along probably are already familiar with a lot of these features, but maybe you haven't thought about this last one. The idea that because everything is digital, automated, transparent, and you can be paid out however you like, you could actually go ahead and take your distributions and send them back out immediately and instantly and programmatically so you don't even have to be there. What use cases, for example? Well, maybe I'd like my rental income from a property token that I own to go ahead and pay off one of my loans that I have on file. Or perhaps I'd like to go ahead and buy another company or another investment with those yields immediately upon receiving. Or maybe I'd like to go ahead and do what you did, which is send them back to the same investment so that I can get more of the original security token and gain a higher yield the next time around.
All fascinating examples and great reasons for why blockchain-based payments just make so much sense, especially in our traditional capital markets. And maybe we can go with rapid fire a couple examples of where this makes the most sense.
I think so. I mean, I can go back to my real estate example. It's a well-known company known as Realty, which is actually paying out its investors on a daily basis. Many of these real estate properties having hundreds or thousands of investors. I think there's plenty of other use cases like companies, for example.
Curzio, right? Is exploring a dividend payment on-chain.
Always doing a quarterly dividend on-chain. We've got the idea that perhaps if your employees, your team, your executives, and your shareholders and investors are all paid through the security token, you can now have perfect transparency about who's been paid and how long and how many different ways.
This makes debt trusts a much more feasible example. Now that there's a much more transparent and automated process here, we've talked about that many times in the past.
You've got fund distributions, bonds on your loans issue. We've even got revenue sharing agreements, which is, of course, gaining in popularity. That's the perfect use case because, of course, a revenue sharing agreement comes down to the revenue being distributed, and all of that can be tracked via a smart contract and on-chain.
And that's the main topic this week. Leave any comments below around any questions that you might have on what we've covered this week or in any other future things that you'd like us to mention. You can follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter for any more information. You can follow the What's Drippin' newsletter to get a casual rundown of what's going on in the space hosted by Jonah Shulman of Security Token Market. And we've got many other things, including the Clubhouse on Thursday evenings that you can check out for more information on the security token space.
Of course, always check out stomarket.com. That's where you get the latest trading information, the latest security token news, as well as check out our blog where you can find a lot of high-depth research reports as well as other interesting content on security tokens.
And that's it for episode 100 here in South Africa. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for following along and happy tokenizing. It's your turn now.